What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
My colleague won't stop commenting on everything I eat.
My assistant rolls his eyes at people in meetings.
Why does my coworker keep taking credit for all my ideas?
Have any wisdom for me?
Hi, I'm Allison Green. Welcome to the Ask a Manager podcast, where I answer questions from listeners about life at work. Everything from what to say if you're allergic to your coworker's perfume to what to do if you drink too much at the company party. Let's get started. Today, we're going to talk about accepting criticism well. Getting feedback, even negative feedback, is a normal part of having a job, and it's a key part of how you develop your skills and get better and better at what you do. But a lot of people handle negative feedback pretty badly. They get defensive, or they get upset, or they just kind of shut down and don't really say much. It can be hard to change your reaction, even if you want to, and that's what today's guest is here to talk about. Hi, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you read the letter that you sent to me, and then we'll talk about it.
Sure. So first, I love the podcast. Thanks so much for all your helpful tips and insight. I would love to talk more about accepting negative feedback or just criticism in general. I'm finishing my PhD in chemistry, and I'm currently interviewing for jobs. I've gotten feedback a few times from my current bosses and colleagues about not accepting criticism or feedback well and taking things too personally. While I give seminars about my research, I tend to unknowingly get defensive when people ask questions at the end. Additionally, when my current boss gives me negative feedback, I struggle to keep my emotions inside and not look too upset or angry. Any help on how I could process and respond to criticism or negative feedback better would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, so first, this is so common. So don't feel weird about it. I think so many people struggle with this. So you've gotten feedback on how you're taking feedback. People have told you that you're not taking it well. Tell me more about the specifics of what they've told you about this.
So sometimes when for example, when I answer questions at the end of a research seminar and I think I'm answering them well, at the end, you know, I'll get a comment from a boss or a coworker that I seemed really defensive and I need to be more kind and receptive to people's questions and kind of answer them like, oh, that's an interesting question, and think about it and answer them kindly. Whereas I guess I get too defensive. It's not as apparent to me when it's happening, but that's kind of the feedback I get. Additionally, I just know that like when things aren't going well with my research and my boss maybe points that out to me, that it's hard to, take it in stride and not kind of get upset or feel bad about it. And I think that reads on my face pretty easily.
Yeah. So what is going on with you when it's happening? And actually, before we really jump into this, I want to say that as we talk, I'm going to use the word criticism as shorthand here, but I don't think that all less than positive feedback is criticism. I mean, I think a lot of feedback is more like what I would call developmental feedback or corrective feedback. It's not, you suck at doing this, but it's more
it's more like,
hey, this might not be the most effective way that you could be approaching this. And let's talk about more effective ways. But that is a mouthful to say every time. Mm-hmm. And so for the sake of this discussion, I'm just going to use criticism or negative feedback is shorthand.
Okay.
So what is going on with you when it's happening? Like, do you, in the moment, do you disagree with what you're hearing? Or is it just upsetting to be told that you're not doing something perfectly? What's actually going through your head when it happens?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, like I feel the emotions kind of wash over me and I'm trying to keep calm. But like my face, I think, reads like confusion or upset or like annoyed or things like that. But it doesn't even register to me. I guess I'm just pretty anxious in general.
Yeah. How do the conversations go when that happens? Like, and I think maybe for this, let's focus on like one-on-one conversations with your boss, because I think the responding to audience members in a seminar is almost a whole different thing, although it certainly has similarities. But like when it's one-on-one with your boss, how does the conversation go when that happens? Do you find that the other person is affected by how you're responding to it? Or like, does it impact the conversation?
Yeah, occasionally he will say things along the lines that I can tell he's noticing that I'm upset by what he's saying. Or like if I'm working on something really difficult and I'm like, I don't think this pathway is going to work. I think we should look at a different problem or look at find another route to get to the, you know, try to fix what we're doing. I'll be like, can I try this or this or this? And he'll be like, no, I know this will work. You just have to keep doing it. And I kind of like, oh, you know, I'm so frustrated. And you know, I want to try something new and I came up with ideas, but he's just like, nope, just keep, you know, hitting it again and again and again until you get it right. And that's stressful. And I guess those are the kind of challenges that when I hear that, I just feel very, you know, overwhelmed that I have to keep, you know, trying at this same problem, not getting anywhere.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah. And he kind of responds like, you know, it's okay. Or like, yeah, I could see you're frustrated by this. And then he'll go on and say, try to explain why he wants me to keep doing the same way.
And then what happens later? Like, do you continue to sort of feel the same way about the feedback? Or is there ever a point where later on, when you're not in the heat of the moment, you see some merit to what was being said?
Yeah, initially, I feel often like upset or overwhelmed, but I usually will walk away and I'll go somewhere and calm down for a little bit and then I'll go back to work. And yeah, eventually, like, especially if it does end up working out, I can see the merit in it. Occasionally when it doesn't, I'm like, you know, I knew that, but I guess it, you know, it happens either way. But yeah, it kind of just takes me a few minutes to kind of come back down and bring my center down to go back to work, especially, you know, in a lab environment, you don't want to be agitated or upset trying to work.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this is about mental reframing, just like shifting your perspective in your own head, which is not easy to do. I think the thing to know about feedback is that there are really two basic ways that you can take it. You can take it as sort of a personal attack on you, where you're hearing that you're not good enough. Or you can take it as coaching, meaning it's an attempt to help you. And I think right now you're experiencing it as kind of an attack, even if it's just a very low-grade attack. Mm-hmm. But I think if you could shift your perspective and see it as coaching, as a genuine attempt to help you from people who have your best interest in mind, you might respond to it differently. But to do that, I think you have to really believe that that's what it is and that is where the challenge lies.
Okay.
Sometimes you hear people call feedback a gift, and I always think it sounds kind of cheesy, like, really? Like, telling me that my work wasn't great is supposed to be a gift? But the thing is, I mean, I think most of the time, cheesy as it sounds, feedback really is a gift. It's someone saying, hey, I'm going to take the time to share thoughts with you about how you could do this even better and how you can develop your skills and be more successful. And that's a totally different way of looking at it than people have when they're responding defensively. I think in the moment, it feels much more personal in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you from the manager side of things, that really is what it is. Not an attack, but the coaching piece of this. You know, when I'm sitting down with someone and I'm giving feedback on their work that isn't entirely positive, I'm doing it because my job is to help them. It's to coach them and help them get better. I'm not there to tear them down or to aggravate them or to tell them all the ways that they're wrong. It's supposed to be a collaborative process, where as the manager, I'm offering my thoughts as someone with a different vantage point than what they have, and hopefully giving them some direction and some insight for the next iteration of the work. And I think it's really important to remember that that is what the manager's role is in that conversation, you know, to identify, hey, here's what's working, here's what's not working, here are things that may be fine, but could be better, let's try approaching them this way. And you've got to see it, I think, as a completely normal part of the relationship between you and your boss, or in your case, also between you and your audience when you're giving seminars, because I suspect that you aren't seeing it as a normal part of the relationship. And so every time that it happens, it's almost like a mini shock. Does that resonate?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
It might even help to think about like situations that our culture is familiar with where feedback is more explicitly coaching, like an actual coach of a sports team who's giving lots of feedback to players and maybe criticism in an attempt to help players get better, or like a director of a play or a musical performance who you would expect would be giving a bunch of feedback to performers to help them nail their performance, or like a book editor. I think there's some situations culturally where we do expect coaching to be very explicitly built into the relationship. And it might be that if you can look at your relationship with your boss more like that, more like a sports coach, it'll shift your perspective a little bit on those conversations.
That's a really interesting thought. I think if I kind of think about it in a different way and prep myself by trying to get myself in that mindset before I go into it, that'll help a lot.
Let's pause here for a quick break, and then we'll come right back and talk more about how you might approach this.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and prove security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
I think, too, if you've ever been in a position where you needed to give negative feedback to someone, you were probably approaching it from a place of wanting to help them improve their work. Have you ever been in that position yourself?
Sometimes with students, yeah. And it's definitely a case of trying really hard to help them.
Yeah. So you might like really have that in your head about what it's like when you're in your boss's role, like where you're coming from and what you're looking for from the other person. That might be a really interesting thought exercise to really think through when you've been giving students feedback. How are you hoping they'll respond? How are you hoping they'll experience the whole thing? What kind of reactions are useful for them and what kind of reactions get in the way? And it might be that thinking, like really deliberately thinking through that, helps you kind of reprogram the way you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm sure in those cases, you're not out to like prove your dominance over the other person or make them feel bad. You know, you're genuinely trying to help.
Yeah, I guess there's that power dynamic where I'm trying to help them and I expect them to just kind of take the information I'm giving them and think about it and then try to apply what they can.
Yeah, exactly. I also want to talk a little bit about the impact that you might be having on your relationship with your boss when that happens, because I think it's a really important thing here. So, I mean, as a manager, if I'm going into the conversation with the mindset that we talked about, that I'm here to help make the work better and to coach the person, It can be pretty jarring when the person does respond defensively, because on my side of it, that's going to feel like the person doesn't really want to talk about ways to make their work stronger, and maybe also isn't going to process the feedback that I'm giving, and therefore isn't going to incorporate it into their work. And that, of course, is not what you want in that conversation. And in an employee, you want someone who's going to be open to talking through better ways to do something. So if I'm your boss and I give you feedback and you get defensive or you seem obviously put off, that's a big concern. And then if it becomes a pattern, it's a problem, because a lot of managers in that situation are going to get reluctant to give you feedback in the future. And you really don't want that, because if your boss is afraid to give you feedback because she's worried about your reaction, you're not going to be hearing about the ways you could do better. And you might not hear about it if there are like real problems in your work. And that could mean things like not only not growing professionally, but also it could potentially affect the assignments you get or promotions or raises or just reputation in general. And you might not have any idea that that's happening. So you want to know what your manager thinks of your work, because it's such a crucial part of what your life at work will be like. I do want to say, like, to be clear, a good manager won't let that happen. A good manager will talk to you regardless of what your response is and won't let defensiveness stop her from delivering feedback. But it's hard to do. And there are a ton of managers out there who will pick the easier path of just not offering it anymore. And that is a big disadvantage to you.
Yeah.
You know, but none of it means that you always need to agree with the feedback, because you don't. And I wonder if that's something that you worry about. Like, if you don't necessarily share your boss's perspective, do you feel comfortable navigating that?
Yeah, I usually do kind of strike a conversation, and I really kind of want to understand why someone's telling me to go in a certain direction or the other. So I do kind of question it in the sense of just trying to understand, because it's hard for me to get on board if I can't understand what the motivations are.
Yeah.
So I really like to hear the why. And that kind of helps me understand why he's telling me to do something or drop something else. I kind of want to know more, and maybe that's less helpful. I don't know. I don't know how that seems to a manager, but if I understand it better, then I really know how to approach it and have more of a drive to go towards it if I understand why I'm being assigned to do something.
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, I do think that there can be a danger sometimes that someone in your shoes is just asking clarifying questions to make sure that you understand it, not because you're resisting it, but because you genuinely want to understand it more deeply, mm-hmm. but it's coming across as defensiveness. And sometimes that's because the person in your shoes is, without realizing it, is sort of sending off defensive vibes. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just because you have a manager who isn't great with that kind of thing. But I do think that there is a way to do it that doesn't come across defensively, at least if you're dealing with a reasonable manager. I think, and really you have to. I mean, I would never want the takeaway to be like, oh, I shouldn't ask clarifying questions because it might come across as defensive. You've got to ask clarifying questions. Mm-hmm. I think there are a few different ways to do it. I think it's often about tone, but it's often about language too. So I think one way I might think of it is, if it seems like your boss has a very different perspective than you do, you're trying to figure out what accounts for the difference in the perspective versus your boss's perspective, because it's possible that you have information that your boss doesn't have and that might change her perspective, or vice versa. There could be something that you're missing that could make this all make sense to you if you knew what it was. But as you're talking about it, you want to acknowledge that you're hearing what's being said. And so you could say something like, I want to better understand what you're saying. Would it mean that in X situation, I would handle it in Y manner? Or in X situation, can we talk about like how we would apply what you're saying under that set of circumstances? So that you're sort of, there's no resistance in that language. You're making it very clear that you really are genuinely eager to make sure that you're on the same page. And I think too, even when you really like actively disagree, you can still acknowledge that you're hearing and processing it, but that your perspective is a little different. So you could say something like, I think I understand what you're saying. I was looking at it differently. Can I tell you what my perspective was in case it changes the way you're looking at it, or in case there's something that I should correct about my understanding? And so that language is respectful. It's not argumentative. It's not defensive. And it makes it clear that you do respect that ultimately your boss gets to make the final call, even if you disagree with it, but that like your goal is to just make sure that you're both on the same page as much as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think sometimes I'm seeing something in the lab when I'm working with a specific system that obviously he's not seeing as he manages a lot of people in labs. So I have to try to communicate what I'm seeing that makes our like differences of opinion on a topic, clash.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you're sort of like on a hunt to figure out like, okay, we have two different perspectives, let's figure out why, as opposed to sort of bristling at it.
Yeah.
I think that can help. And I think too, just like generally with taking feedback well, it's really just like really listening to what's being said, not letting yourself respond with a lot of emotion. And there's a lot of good responses that you can have in the moment. I mean, it can be as simple as saying, you know, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. I'll do that in the future. Often that's all you need to say. But I think like when I think about, I've disagreed a lot with bosses in my career. And I think the key for having it go well has always been like really going into the conversation with the understanding that ultimately it is their call, but maybe right. I have information that I can offer up that would be helpful to them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to say is, if you are feeling kind of flooded with emotion in the moment, it is okay to not respond right away. You know, if you feel yourself getting upset or aggravated or defensive, it could be that the best thing to do is to say something like, hey, thanks for telling me this. I want to digest it. And then I might come back to you with questions. And that gives you some time and some space to get away from the initial emotional reaction and really process the feedback before you do talk about it. And if you do say that, that doesn't mean that you then have to go back later and have like another big discussion about it. If you want to, you can. But it could just be that you just say, you know, hey, thanks for giving me that feedback the other day. I thought about it. It makes sense. And I'll incorporate it going forward.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's pause here for one more quick break and then we'll come right back.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I mean, you're giving me a lot of helpful feedback on how to think about it. And I have one other kind of related question, specifically with, I think that my boss gives feedback kind of, he treats everybody the same way. Like he manages everybody the same, I don't know, using the same tone and everything. And I think that certain of us don't like his managerial style and others do. And I think do all managers tend to manage with a certain tone or do you have to tailor it to personalities and should you do that?
That's a great question. I think ideally you tailor your approach to the person, that you really kind of get to know the person and the situation and what will be effective there. And even with the same person, sometimes different situations call for a different approach. You know, if normally you give someone a lot of latitude and a lot of autonomy, but now they're doing a project that's very high stakes or very new to them, you mm-hmm. might be much more directive than you normally would be with them. So I think you really want to pay attention to what you know of the person and how they operate and their skill level and familiarity with the work they're doing. That said, there are certainly a ton of managers who do not vary it from person to person.
Yeah, I had an interesting job interview question related to this, asking about, you know, how my what's my best and worst thing about my manager. And, you know, obviously it's a really loaded question, but I was able to give like good feedback. But I had said that I don't think that his managerial style works the best for me and a couple of my other coworkers as compared to the majority. And that that tends to be difficult. But what the person told me is, would you feel comfortable telling a future manager what works best for you so that you can, you know, work better with them? And do you think that that's effective?
Depends on the manager. If you have a pretty good manager, yeah, absolutely. And a good manager will welcome that. There are a lot of managers out there who are not super skilled at managing. I mean, in a lot of fields, maybe most fields, people end up getting promoted into management positions because they were good at something else. And the sort of next natural step up is managing a team. And it might be that the thing that they were good at that got them promoted is completely different than the skills that it takes to manage people. And companies don't do a ton of management training. It's very odd. So you get managers who have lots of weirdness and dysfunction and difficult traits. So there are many of them out there. So I think it's always smart to kind of get a feel for what your manager is like before deciding how open and candid to be. But in general, yes, absolutely. You should be able to say, you know, hey, here's what I found has worked well. Obviously, there are limits to that. You know, if you're saying what I found has worked well is, you know, never having to talk to my manager, only having to get feedback once a year. Obviously, that's not going to go over well. But I mean, do you have a sense for what doesn't work for you about your manager style and what would work better?
Yeah. And part of this is related to the fact that the kind of jobs I'm applying for are like max 10% women. So I feel like as is not seeing people around you in the workplace, I need a little bit more kind of like support. Like, yeah, like we want you here. You're doing well. You know, you belong here too. And just giving that little bit of support along with the feedback feels really good. And it makes me so much more motivated to work hard. And I don't know, that just works better for me. And I want to be able to communicate that.
That's such a reasonable thing to want. Reading between the lines here, am I gathering correctly that your current manager doesn't give a lot of positive feedback?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if that is also feeding into the emotion of getting the negative feedback, because ideally you would be getting, assuming that you're doing a good job, you would be getting a ton. you would be getting a ton of positive feedback. And so when you did get more negative feedback or corrective feedback, it would be against this backdrop of knowing that overall things are going very well and knowing that the things that you're doing well are being recognized. But if that backdrop is missing and you're never hearing that stuff and you're only hearing the negative stuff, that is legitimately upsetting. And so
that's very enlightening. I get almost zero verbal positive feedback. So that's why I always go into the situations pretty anxious.
Well, no wonder. I mean, I would really cut yourself a break about this, given that, I mean, you still want to work on it. It's still smart to have a good reaction to feedback, all the stuff we've talked about, blah, blah, blah. But I think recognize that you're in this sort of praise desert where you're not hearing the other piece of the story that really matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder, there are ways to kind of draw that out of a manager who isn't good at naturally giving it. And a manager who doesn't give positive feedback, it's not necessarily because like they're a jerk or, I mean, usually it's not because they're a jerk or emotionally withholding or whatever it might be. Often it's because they just haven't been that thoughtful about it. And they're just thinking like, oh, my job here is to sort of critique and talk about ways that the work could be going better without looking at the larger picture and without thinking about the fact that negative feedback lands a lot more easily when people know that you've recognized the strong points. But sometimes you can draw it out by saying things like, you know, hey, could we talk about how things are going overall? You know, do you like, trying to think of the way that I would word this. I think I would say it just like that. You know, hey, can we talk about how you feel like things are going overall? And sometimes a manager who has been pretty exclusively critical will surprise you in response to that conversation by saying things like, oh, I think things are going great. You're doing a really great job. So it might be that you have to draw it out of him.
That's a really great point, because I think it's all of us kind of have a hard time figuring out where we stand because we only get negative feedback, really. So it's hard to know. But then when we talk to each other, we realize we're all getting negative feedback. So we feel like we're on the same plate. But when it's just you individually, it feels like, oh, wow, I must be doing a terrible job.
Yeah. How is your rapport with your boss in general? Like, do you feel like that is something you could point out to him?
It's gotten better over time. And now that I'm, you know, looking at leaving, I'm going to graduate soon and look for real jobs, that it might be something I could communicate for his future work, but is obviously almost going to be too late for my future with that boss, you know?
If you do feel like you have decent rapport and he would take it well, it might be worth pointing out, sometimes managers who operate that way are really surprised to hear that that is what people think. Like for some reason, what's popping into my head here is that I used to manage a whole team of managers. And so when they had to write performance reviews for their staff, I would see those performance reviews. And sometimes they would be just full of sort of corrective feedback, not like super harsh, but what they were focusing on was all the stuff they thought someone could be doing differently. And I would know that the employee in question was someone who they thought really well of, that overall they thought the person's work was great. And I would read the performance review they drafted for the person and think, my God, if I were this person, I would come away thinking that like I was not doing a very good job at all. And I would point that out to the manager, and they would often be shocked because they knew in their head, like they had the backdrop in their head of knowing that they thought this person was doing well, but they didn't realize that they hadn't explicitly vocalized that. And so I think sometimes managers who do this can really be surprised by it, and it can help to point it out.
Yeah, I think I'll try to find a way to communicate that very briefly before I leave and move on. I think it would be helpful.
But certainly what you are looking for here, what you wish you were getting from your manager, is a very reasonable thing to expect.
That's good to hear, because I'm not looking to be like coddled, and that's something you're trying not to communicate. But at the same time, it's like, I want, I guess, support, and then you could do this better, but you're doing this great. You could do this better. Like, that's so much easier to take.
Yeah. I don't think you want to be coddled. It doesn't sound like that at all to me. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Ask a Manager podcast. If you'd like to come on the show to talk through your own question, email it to podcast@askamanager.org, or you can leave a recording of your question by calling 855-426-WORK. That's 855-426-9675. You can get more Ask a Manager at askamanager.org or in my book, Ask a Manager, How to Navigate Clueless Colleagues, Lunch Stealing Bosses, and the Rest of Your Life at Work. The Ask a Manager show is a partnership with How Stuff Works and is produced by Paul Deccan. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute to subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. I'm Allison Green, and I'll be back next week with another one of your questions.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.